discovering stories of courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Life is short, I want to live it well. One life, one story to tell. Life is short, I want to live it well. And you're the one I'm living for.
Well, have you been waiting for life to turn out the way you expected it to? If so, you are not alone, my friend. Grace Thornton found herself in that place. She had dreams, plans, and ideas for what life should look like. For one, she thought she'd be married. She thought she'd have kids. And she thought God would bring her that life she'd been waiting for because she knew He was good. And she tried to be obedient. But that is not what happened. Not at all. So she found herself wrestling with God. Who is He if He doesn't bring along the life she thought He was supposed to? And where should she go from there? Today, we'll find answers for that vital turning point from Grace's book, I Don't Wait Anymore, a challenge for readers to find their calling and purpose from God and go after it with completely committed hearts. The warmest of welcomes to you, Grace. It's great to have you here today.
Hey, thanks. It's great to be here.
Now, first of all, how is Alabama today where you're joining us from?
Oh, it's hot. It's hot. We've made it to that time of year where there's just no way around it. It is steamy out there.
Do you even dare go outside at this point, or do you just cling to the air conditioner?
Both. If you have to go out, you just run for a few feet at a time, like the door to the car and then back, and that's about it. Exercise is out the window. You know, you're not getting any of that right now. As a state, I think we're just shutting it down.
The state of Alabama has been shut down at this point.
We are out of business at the moment. In fact, that's in September.
So to set out on this journey with you, kind of just set the stage for where you found yourself at the outset of the book. You were raised in faith and you developed a certain expectation of how life was going to turn out, right?
Yeah. And I don't think it was one of those things. I don't know for other people how this kind of thing looks in their life. But for me, it wasn't that I had grown up thinking, okay, this is exactly how I think my life is going to go. I've got it all planned out. I've got it, you know, drawn into a blueprint, that kind of thing. It was just something that I think I subconsciously, I guess, adapted in my brain and just was, you know, as you grow up and you think through kind of things and you watch your families and you watch your friends, I just kind of assumed that kind of like you get pushed through life, I guess, you know, you go through elementary school and you just kind of go from grade to grade and then you go into middle school, high school, college. And it just, in my mind, I think the next logical step for what was supposed to happen is, you know, you get a job and you get married and you start having your family. And I don't think I had ever really stopped to pencil that out and say, okay, here's my plan. But I think in my head, that was just always the expectation of that's what's going to happen. And I think with faith, it was one of those things where I'd grown up in church and I'd grown up believing in God and having a deep respect for Him. I would have called it, I think, a love at the time. But I knew that He was really important and I was trying to live my life in a way that I thought would honor Him. And, when I was a teenager, I took a purity pledge, and in my mind, it was one of those things of, you know, one of the reasons we wait, if not the main reason, is so that, you know, this is what God tells us to do, and this is a way to have a good marriage one day. And, you know, if I'm obedient in this way, then God's going to provide that perfect person somewhere down the road. And I don't know if it was one of the things that was told to me or if I just kind of assumed that, you know, and internalized it and kind of, I guess, taught it to myself almost. I'm not sure. But it was one of those things that once I got into my 20s, I started thinking, okay, this isn't working out exactly like I thought it would. And if that is the case, what does that mean? You know, is God not who I thought He was? Is He not following through on the things I thought He would follow through on and that kind of thing? So it brought up a lot of big questions.
That was really interesting, the way you described your thought process about the purity pledge, because many of us did the same thing. I know that I did. It signed the True Love Waits pledge, but you almost felt that it was a transactional thing. Like, you will give God this promise and God will give you this life and this blueprint you had in mind.
Yeah, it was one of those things, you know, I think I look back on that pledge and I think, you know, I definitely don't want to be the revolutionary who's like, that's a terrible idea, don't do that, because, you know, purity is obviously really important, you know, and it's one of those things that I think that that's something we should be taught and learn and pass down. But it was one of those things that as I learned it, I didn't even know it, but it was like it, I was setting up in my mind this God is a means to an end. Like he's the means to the life that I still haven't got yet, or that I think is going to be better. And kind of like, you know, if my obedience, you know, I kind of cash it in at some point and God's going to reward it with the thing that I've been wanting all along. And it's never, it was never supposed to be that way, but I didn't even think that through at the time. And it wasn't until much later that I started kind of picking that apart and realized I kind of had that thought all the way through.
That's really fascinating stuff from Grace Thornton. She's the author of I Don't Wait Anymore, Letting Go of Expectations and Grasping God's Adventure for You. We have 4 editions of the book to give away. If you are listening and captivated already by the premise of Grace's story, if you just head to myfaithradio.com, that's myfaithradio.com, look for On the Road, and you can send us a note right there from that page via the contact form. Just tell us, I want the chance to be entered for a copy of Grace's book, I Don't Wait Anymore. So you say, Grace, you get to your 20s and you realize, you look around and see all the friends starting to pair up and you see the birth announcement starting to come your way. How do you begin that process of wrestling with God? What does that look like? What are the questions that you asked of yourself and of God at that time?
I hate to use this word dramatically, but it was a dark time. Like, there was a lot of questions that I had. And I think it was kind of like my view of God up to that point that I'd built my whole life. It's kind of like a Jenga game, you know, where you, my southern accent probably came out a lot right there. But where you pull that bottom piece out, and all of a sudden the whole thing is shaky. And I felt like that's where I was at that point, because I'd had such a strong conviction that this was going to be the way that God worked. And when it didn't pan out that way, it kind of made my entire view of God really shaky. And so I kind of went back to square one and was just thinking, okay, what did I misunderstand? Is God not who he said he is? Or, you know, you get the kind of thing like where my college roommate's getting married and everything's working out perfectly. You know, it's like the first guy she meets at college becomes her husband, and, you know, it's a beautiful thing. Get married in the college chapel, you know, all the perfect things. Mm-hmm. And I think, okay, what's the difference between me and her? Is it God or is it me? You know, what's the thing? Is it something I did wrong, or is it something that he's not following through on? And so in those times, I just came back to a point where I think, I mean, there was a lot going on. I tried to figure it out on my own. I tried to, you know, fix my life on my own, tried to ask, you know, just ask people for advice and just try to figure it out, I guess. But it came back to having to almost let God just break me down to where I had nothing left, and then finally say, okay, blank slate, I'm going back to the truth of your word. Just teach me all over again who you are, because that's something about the way I believe about you is not right. Yeah, it was in that period, I guess, that that God really began to do that. It was like as I would get up in the morning and read, he began to meet me there and really just teach me who he was from scratch. It wasn't that all the things I'd learned about him as a kid were necessarily wrong. I had just twisted some things and, you know, believed other things. And a lot of the way I'd grown up was just thinking that he was kind of this thing to the side of your life that was a big part, important thing. You know, I want him to have the first priority in my life and all the things that you say. But when it came down to it, what I really wanted was that kind of life. Just I wanted him to be a big part of it. And during that time, as he began to show me who he was, it was like he began to show me that he was the thing worth my entire life, and that my entire life was worth chasing him without worrying about fixing all the other things along the way, if that makes sense.
It does. It makes great sense. It makes a lot more profound sense than the ways that I've thought about this previously, but it sure makes sense. So you have this time of rediscovering who God really is and sort of unpacking your belief system in a lot of ways. It brings you to this place of decision, which you talk about in I Don't Wait Anymore, where you say, as in the title of the book and how it expresses, that you weren't going to wait anymore. What precipitated sort of that moment of clarity?
Yeah, that's a good question. For me, it was God was really gracious, and he brought a couple of people across my path, as he does so often, right when we need them. he brought a couple of people just to kind of show me a different way to look at what a relationship with him looked like. And one of them was my pastor at the time. Another one was a friend from college. And both of them had just looked so different. I'll be real. When I was in college, I kind of thought I had the God situation figured out. It's like, oh, yeah, I've been in church my whole life. You know, I know how this works. I'm going to try to honor him, read my Bible every morning, go to church. It's almost more like a plateau situation of like, it exists and I live in it and God and I are just kind of doing life together. And what I saw in my friend and then in my pastor was a love for God that I just didn't even understand. It was like, my pastor just kind of exploded with Jesus every week. I would just watch him, and it was like he almost couldn't contain himself. I thought that, like, his skin was going to, you know, burst at some point. When he talked about it, he was just so passionate about God and who he was and the fact that, you know, we could know him through his word. He was super passionate about knowing the word, and I would walk away from church every Sunday and just think, if that's what it really can look like to love Jesus, that is so different from anything I've ever known, and I thought I knew how this was supposed to work. And it was in that time that finally God started to pull apart the pieces, and it was kind of like, if that's what it can look like, that's what I should want. You know, that's what I should want it to look like. And so I began to ask God just to, you know, went back to really simple prayers of just, God, as I approach your word in the morning, like, show me who you are through the truth that I'm reading. Change my heart as I read and teach me the truth of who you are. And it wasn't, I had to strip my prayers down to stop being, help me know what to do about this whole, you know, the rest of my life and this job and this and husband and all the things and find everything I need. It was more just like, okay, I clearly don't have this figured out, but I know that I want you and I want to want you more than anything in my life. Show me what that looks like and change my heart until my heart lines up with that. And so it was in that I started just reading for the sake of knowing him and not for answers, not going to it like trying to figure out what to do with my life, but to actually just know who God was. And then praying for God to show me who he was in such a way that I would fall so in love with who he was that it didn't really matter what my life looked like as long as it helped me know him better. And then after that, it was kind of like, with that in mind, it stopped being that I was holding all these broken pieces of things that I thought were going to be my dreams or my life that I wanted, and just handed them to him and said, okay, take all of it, and I'm going to give you just a blank page. I'm not going to try to put it all together myself. There's a commercial where it keeps saying, like, something's redirecting, like somebody's life, you know, messes up, and it's like, recalculating, trying to figure it out. And I'm going to stop trying to just take what I have and make it work. I'm going to hand everything to you and say, God, you're better than my dreams. Just take my life and write the story for my life that you want. And so that's where the title came from. It was that I didn't want to wait to live my life until I had the life that I thought I was supposed to have. I just wanted to just chase God with everything I had, whatever that meant.
That's great. Grace Thornton is author of I Don't Wait Anymore, Letting Go of Expectations and Grasping God's Adventure for You. We have 4 editions of the book to give away due to the kindness of Grace and her publisher. If you head to myfaithradio.com, just look for On the Road. You can send us a note right there from the page and say, hey, please enter me in the drawing to win Grace's book. And it is a great book, a really, really cool explanation and exploration of this path and such an important moment in Grace's life, one we can so relate to for so many of us. Now, you are a celebrated writer, Grace, even before the book, both freelance and on your blog, which is graceforthroad.com. And it was a blog post there that led to this book. And I understand that the post has been viewed more than 1 million times, right? What is the tale of that piece?
It's funny. I never really, I don't know, not that I didn't mean to write it, because obviously it got written, but it was one of those things where I was just, I've been a writer for a while, but I was a journalist, so I was writing other people's stories, which is always the comfort zone. I love it there. It wasn't until I moved overseas and started blogging so my parents basically could read what I was doing, that I started writing down some of what God was doing in my own life, and it was uncomfortable. It was really uncomfortable, and just being vulnerable and putting out really personal stories. But it wasn't until that post that I wrote on that kind of topic. It was kind of what we've been talking about, just the idea of hitting a point in my 20s where I realized that I had this idol in my life of wanting this life more than I actually wanted Jesus. And so it talks about getting to a point of just finally throwing down that expectation and saying, you know, it doesn't matter what my life looks like. If I'm single for the rest of my life, if that helps me know God better and live the story he has for my life better, then that's the one I want. And so it was during a period, I guess, of just hearing other people saying that they were struggling through the same kind of things that I had struggled through, that I wanted to just kind of write down almost a testimony of what God had done. And it took me 6 months to post it after I wrote it because it was so, I guess, raw and personal that I was nervous, but I finally did, and it wasn't one of those things that I really expected anybody except the people that I knew well, and that was one reason I was so nervous about it, you know, to read. Mm. But it was something that obviously really hit a nerve with a lot of people, something that I wouldn't have imagined. You know, when you're going through things, sometimes you think, I'm the only one struggling with this.
Yes.
But to see, based on how many people read it, there's got to be a lot more people who are working through the same kinds of questions and the same kinds of struggles. So that was neat to see.
So now, as part of this trek, and it's both a proverbial trek, right? The voyage through life that you're taking, this voyage of discovery. But then also, of course, it's a physical trek when you start traveling all around the world, which I'm going to ask you about a little bit more in just a moment. But part of that is coming to really redefine your own understanding of what the word weight itself actually means. Can you take us inside that? Why was that such a key for you?
After I first got out of college, when I was kind of going through this whole situation, one of the things that precipitated all the questioning was I'd kind of gotten, I guess, out of college. I was dating the guy that I had been best friends with in college, kind of thought we were going to get married. And it was when we broke up that all this kind of started. And from there, it just kind of, you know, I don't know what that zone of waiting means for most people, just trying to figure out what God is, you know, if he's going to bring that along, when is it going to come, where it's going to come from, you know, do I need to be looking for it myself, and that kind of thing. And it was, for me, I guess it was getting to a point of realizing that I was making decisions at least partially based on what I was trying to make my life be at that point, what I wanted it to be. And it was less of just thinking the only real thing that I'm really waiting for is one day when we get to see God face to face. And I know that sounds a lot, for me anyway, maybe not to most people, but for me, that idea a lot was just, I guess, almost a little bit sleepy. I know that sounds bad, but I had not thought a whole lot about heaven when I was growing up. It was kind of like, oh, great, I get to go there one day, it'll be awesome when I get there, but it's kind of not the immediate thing on the horizon. And it was like as I was reading and God was changing my heart and I was starting to realize that everything we do here is geared toward there, it was like the picture of there and what it was actually going to be and how we were going to actually get to be with him all the time and it was going to be perfect and there were going to be no tears and, you know, God was going to be with us. It was one of those things of it became almost so close that I hate to say that, you know, that I could taste it. It's not that close, but it was getting closer all the time. And because of that, it became, that was the only real weight. Everything else was just live, you know? And and it was kind of like, all right, God, I'm not waiting for anything specific in my life. Do I have some desires? Sure. But the thing that I want to always desire most is you and getting to see you as, you know, as fast as I can, as the best way I can, you know, like run to you as hard as I can and take as many people with me. And so it became more of a whatever the story is you have that's the straightest line to get to you, draw that story, you know, draw that picture. And so that's what waiting became over, I guess, that spiritual journey.
Wow. That is profound stuff. I don't think that sounds sleepy at all.
It's not. I know. It's crazy that it can be. It's crazy that life here and our, you know, the things that we want and the things that Satan just puts, you know, in front of us to distract us can make it seem so sleepy and seem so far away when it's really, really not. It never was meant to be.
That is the voice of Grace Thornton. She's the author of I Don't Wait Anymore, Letting Go of Expectations and Grasping God's Adventure for You. We do have 4 copies of the book to give away. We'll do a drawing. And if you'd like to be entered to win, you can head to myfaithradio.com. Just look for On the Road. And when you find the page there, just use the form that you'll see to contact us to send us a note and say, hey, please enter me in the drawing for a copy of Grace's book, I Don't Wait Anymore. Now, we've been talking about a journey that is very real, but also somewhat proverbial, the journey of life to, of course, there is a resolution to not wait anymore that you have made that then really unleashed you to visit some pretty amazing places physically and go on some remarkable adventures. Give us an overview of your globetrotting, Grace.
It's true. After, I guess, some of that period of searching, God began to really work in my heart to draw me toward overseas work. And so he presented an opportunity, which was just amazing, to be able to do the same kind of work that I had been doing here, to do some journalism overseas. So I was working for a nonprofit organization overseas. We were doing a lot of traveling into different places, seeing people's needs, seeing how they were responding to the gospel, and being able to tell those stories back to people here in the States. And so it was just amazing. It was a really neat time in my own spiritual life, because not only did I get to, I guess, follow God into that next season, even though it was a pretty short one, it was just a neat, neat thing, because it was like I got to go into places where God was doing amazing things, and I got to just stop there for a second, live in the lives of the people there, see what God had done, and just praise him for it, and then come back and get to tell the story, and then go out and get to do it again. And
wow.
So it was amazing. It was one of those things where it was just like all the time, I couldn't stop just wanting to praise God for his amazing, amazing grace just all over the world. You know, it was like he was drawing hearts to himself everywhere I went, and and just sending people out into those places to live those really hard lives, of the resistance and the spiritual warfare, and just living in the bush and places like that, just so that those people could know the hope that Jesus had brought. And so that was amazing. So I lived, I was based in England for a while, and then I was based in the Middle East for a while, but I was doing that kind of work out of both of those places, and it was just really, really neat.
Man, that is extraordinary. You know, we just have several minutes, really 3-4 minutes here left in our conversation, which has gone pretty quickly. Can you confirm that it's been quick?
It has been.
I just wanted to make sure it just wasn't me, that it was both of us as well that were experiencing that. But Grace Thornton here with us, the book called I Don't Wait Anymore. If somebody is listening and just really identifies with the story that you're telling, maybe in their own life, maybe they're identifying with a dear friend or someone that's close to them as well, where can they learn more about your ministry and grab a copy of the book as well, Grace?
Sure. You can go to gracefortheroad.com. That's my blog. And so it's got some information there. And there's also some links to where you could look up the book if you were interested in doing that. Also, I think there is a free chapter there that you can read if you just want to see what it's like and see if it fits where you are. But it was, I would love to hear from you. It's neat to hear other people who are on this journey. And I know that there are just some unique struggles. And it goes across so many different things. Mine personally kind of lands on the whole idea of a husband and a family and that sort of thing. But there's so many different ways that we can be disappointed or disillusioned or have questions about God through things, whether that be infertility or just, a job we thought we were going to have or a certain place we thought we were going to live. There's so many different ways that this can play out. And so I would love to hear from anybody who is in that spot at all. And so feel free to hop on over there and say, hey.
And I do want to mention one more time as well that if you are fascinated by the concept and you just think the book sounds tremendous, which it is, I have read the book and it is tremendous, I can confirm. We have 4 copies of the book to give away. You can enter for a chance to win that giveaway at myfaithradio.com. Just look for On the Road, and right there from the homepage, you can send us a note and just say, hey, please put me in that giveaway drawing for the book, I Don't Wait Anymore. You know, Grace, is it fair to guess that it is not easy to write a book? It's rather a large undertaking.
It is. It is, for sure.
When you did begin that project, I mean, even from the outset, was there sort of in your mind something that you really wanted to leave your reader with? What do you hope when someone picks up the book that they depart with in terms of impact?
One is just that I think that sometimes when we don't have the life that maybe we thought we were going to, the tendency is to think, let's just use singleness again for an example. People would say things like, very well-meaning things like, oh, this is great. You've got all this extra time to focus on your relationship with God. And so you kind of think, okay, well, now that I don't have what I really want, I have this time to focus on God. So it's kind of like he's almost a consolation prize. And I would say that if you're in that spot, he's not your consolation prize life. He is the best life. It may not look the way you thought, but if you will hand it all to Him just for the purpose of knowing Him, it will be the best story, the one that He intended for you from the beginning, the one that gets you closer to Him. And then second, I would just say He is so worth it, because I think that sometimes the tendency is to get so clouded with things, or just maybe hold on to things to the point where we can't give Him everything and just throw our arms open wide and say, you know, just give me all of you. I don't want anything else more than I want you. That sometimes we don't get to the point where we can taste Him for who He truly is. And he is worth it. He loves every person who's listening, and He wants each and every one of them to have that kind of relationship with Him.
Some great words to end on from Grace Thornton, author of I Don't Wait Anymore, Letting Go of Expectations and Grasping God's Adventure for You. Grace, what a pleasure talking with you today. Thank you so much for your time and for taking the time and the energy to put this message to paper as well.
It's been such a blessing to be here. Thank you for the privilege of getting to share.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.